What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is Tuesday, June 30th, 2026, the week of America's 250th birthday. This is Weekly Skews. I'm Trey. That's not Mark. You might have noticed Mark with a rare absence, a little family issue, but he'll be okay. He'll be back next week. Everything's fine. You know, he wouldn't want you caring too much about him or anything in the world. Just act like I never said anything about it. In fact, he'll feel weird if y'all acknowledge that anything happened. But he'll be back next week, and in his stead, as is often the case, common guest host and chief good buddy correspondent, Corey Ryan Forster, the Cho. Hey, Cho, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Trey. I'm very happy to be here celebrating America's 250th birthday. It's a good one. You know, we've really matured. We're a mature 250, really, I think.
Coming into our own, really in our prime right now. So just so everybody knows, and you probably, this is a thing that I imagine could go without saying, but I usually say those things. That's part of my whole thing, is I say the things that could have gone without saying. This is going to be quite a bit looser of an episode because, you know, if any sports fans we have out there, which I know is not many, but Mark is sort of like the play-by-play.
Right.
And then I'm like the color commentator. And then you, because you're usually filling in for me, you're also, what we've got here is two color commentators.
I'm Booger McFarland, I would say.
Right. Yeah. And so, but my point is we're not the ones that know stuff, you know.
Right.
You got two guys that just comment on things said by the guy who knows stuff. And the guy who knows stuff isn't here today, so it's going to be a little more loosey-goosey. But we're going to try to keep up. I've got some news for you. I know about some things that are happening in the world. But before we get into all that, normally we don't do plugs anymore, but I got an important plug for everybody right now because y'all know that this is America's 250th birthday. Producer Matt want me to tell y'all about something he's working on in Seattle this weekend. Y'all know Producer Matt's always up to something. Well, this Saturday, July 4th, you might have heard of it, our very own Producer Matt is bringing the Backroads Tour home to the Tractor Tavern in Seattle, Washington, for a more progressive take on America's 250th birthday. Imagine that. So they're going to have live music from Jontavious Willis, Melissa Carper, and the Reverend Marigold. It starts at 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. Seattle time. So if you're wanting to celebrate a better vision for this country than what we've been getting from the Trump administration, you're in the Pacific Northwest up there in that general area there around Seattle, Washington, then consider going to hang out with Producer Matt at the Tractor Tavern in Seattle. It's an early show, so you'll have plenty of time to catch the fireworks afterwards. You can get tickets to that at backroads.us. Backroads.us. So that's the only plug for now. I'll ask Cho for his at the end. And I'll throw mine in at the end.
I was about
as well.
To say, I don't adhere to your no plug bullshit because otherwise I'm just doing this show for free. I only come on here to plug.
Well, I mean, we still do plugs at the end. I had just stopped doing them two times. But since you're doing me a favor being here, if you want to plug stuff now, you can.
Yeah, CoreyWritesForYou.com. I'm in the middle of a wonderful, and these are not my words, these are the fans' words, Southern crime drama called Here We Rest. People are really, really, really loving it. You can get it absolutely for free at CoreyWritesForYou.com, which is my Substack. And Here We Rest made me, it shot me up to number 15 on the Substack rankings, and I'd love to stay there. So you can subscribe for free, CoreyWritesForYou.com. It's a lot of fun. Thank you, Trey.
Yeah, no problem. All right, so with that and with no further ado, we're going to get started as we often do with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. This week's DD, Tim Dillon for not yet mastering the art of overlord ingratiation despite having one of the all-time GOATs for a mentor. Matt, hit it.
My worry is that in the guise of fighting China, we're going to become China. Saying Palantir should merge all these different government databases.
Mm-hmm.
So your health data and your criminal justice data and your tax data all merges. And who's doing that? Palantir. So you go, and then they go, well, China's got a credit score. Well, what the hell is that?
Have you gotten any invites to any bunkers?
No. No, they're not.
Do you think you'd feel differently if you did?
Okay. So what the fuck, bro? So you tell me if I'm being silly or hyperbolic or overreacting, but that kind of made my blood run cold a little bit when Joe Rogan asked him that question. Because, like, He's not. I know that Joe Rogan is a comedian, but he's not doing a bit, right? He doesn't really do that on his show, I don't think. Like, he's being serious, or am I being stupid?
No, that was the point I was about to make, and it kind of doesn't matter whether he was or not, because, like, he has definitely worn out his welcome in the, hey, I'm just a comedian space. Like, because, yeah, when can you tell? Like, for the most part, Joe, like, obviously started out as a comedian. And when the show first, me and you were both huge Joe Rogan Experience listeners, and mm-hmm. I listened to it because of the comedy. And it wasn't just that it was, like, always laugh out loud funny, but he would have comedians on there to tell stories, so it was all comedy first. But, like, he has 100% entered the space of a self-titled philosopher, free thinker type person. So, unless he just says, by the way, I'm kidding, I take everything he says at face value. And the guy's hanging out with Dana White. He's hanging out with Elon Musk and stuff. Like, I think he's definitely being serious, you know?
Yeah, and being serious about what he said. So Tim Dillon is criticizing the way things are going just generally. And then he says, okay, but have you been invited to any bunkers yet? And then, do you think you'd feel differently if you had? It's just such a wild thing to say, because it's implying, like, you know, well, if they let you into the club, then maybe you'd be on board, right? It's almost like it's like him justifying the turn that he's made, because he's like acknowledging, like, oh, well, I'm in now. They'll let me go on living after the fall, and that justifies, sucking them off at every turn, basically. And that's just like, I don't know. That's just a wild ass sort of bitch made position, in my opinion, for somebody to take.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's basically, it's just saying, like, hey, all this stuff is super evil, and we know it's evil, but if you get invited to the club and you become one of them, it won't affect you, so why would you care?
And then, like, you'll be in, yeah,
and
right.
That's what so many people, like, it's a lack of empathy, it's a lack of fucking common decency. Like, I heard so many people during any of the three Trump elections who were basically, like, they would say something like, I don't know why people get so bent out of shape about the presidential election, because, like, you know, there have been so many different presidents in my lifetime, and none of it has affected me personally. And these are all middle-class white people who are saying that. And it's like, yeah, well, no shit. Some people have the capacity to think about other people, and they really just don't. And, like, I don't know if Joe ever did, but you're known by the company you keep, and he is exclusively hanging out with, I mean, I would say that, like, 90% of the people he talks to on a daily basis are, like, clinical sociopaths.
Oh, yeah, because it feels like it's mostly, like, tech billionaires and stuff now, and it's like he, I know he's, like, pro flock cameras and stuff now, because he had the billionaire on that started those on his show lately, and it's like, you know, people have said for a long time, it's like when he just agrees with the last smart person he had on the show or whatever. And he used to have, like, Bernie Sanders would be one of those people, you know. But it feels like he don't do that anymore. But if y'all are wondering how Tim responded to that, Matt, you could play the rest of the clip, because I think it's pretty on point.
You did.
If somebody said to me, a few people are going to survive, and it's just going to be you and these people, and everybody else is going to die, it's tough. How fun would it be, though? Is it fun? Is it fun if the whole world dies and I'm just sitting and having dinner with J.D. Vance and his wife?
Right. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing. Because you hadn't even seen it. I just texted you about Rogan having said that, and you had the same organic initial response, which I agree with. You want to be, like, in a bunker for the during the rest of the apocalypse with Peter Thiel and his blood boy. You'll be his blood boy, I guess.
Of course. Whatever,
you know, like, although your blood don't hit, my blood don't hit, but we, you know, it just wouldn't hit to be there either way, I feel like.
And also you count your days, because, like, yeah, you might be there, but you're certainly not at the top of the list of hitters there. So, like, when resources do start depleting, you're going to be the one getting butt-fucked and turned into fuel, you know?
And 100%.
But yeah, I think that this whole scenario reminds me of my similar take, which I know you agree with. We've talked about it a lot. It's basically the same way I feel about, like, the Southern Baptist Christian version of heaven, You know, it's like,
oh yes, right. You're right. That like, is, it is a similar thing.
It's like, they're like, don't you want to go to heaven? And I'm like, not if y'all are there. You know yeah, what I mean?
Right. Like every cool person I've ever known and liked is going to be in hell the way y'all describe it. Like, so I think I'd rather go down there.
Yeah. Like every single thing that brings me joy in life, you have labeled as a sin. So what am I even going to do up there? Like, I mean, what the, like, I don't get it, but yeah, man, like, it's just so crazy that, like, on one hand, we're talking about the bunkers, but then on the other hand, those the same people will turn around and tell you that everything is fine. Like, there's just a lot of cognitive dissonance going on, and I don't know, man. Like, it's just, but yeah, no. If I had to be in a bunker with anybody, it certainly wouldn't be those people. I mean, even me and you in a bunker, you're my best friend. I love you, but, like, we'd eventually drive each other insane.
Yeah, you'd have to have two different ends of the bunker, like a bunker duplex or something. You can retreat to your own part of the bunker, I feel like. But, yeah, so America's birthday is coming up, 250th, and this is something I brought up to Mark recently. Do you think that if literally anybody else was the president right now, from either party, like any, basically the equivalent of any president that we've had in our lifetimes, mine and yours, like, how do you think this would be going? Do you think they'd be having some big grand thing and there'd be all kinds of, you know, celebrities involved and it'd be just sort of a bipartisan celebration with everybody just being like, yay, America? Or do you think there'd be some divisive bullshit either way?
No, I mean, dude, I will be fair to the Republicans on this because, yeah, I don't think this specifically is like, oh, this is how Republicans handle it. No, this is how Trump is handling it.
Yeah, right.
Like my favorite.
Yeah, I think if George Bush, if we had turned 250 during George W. Bush or whatever,
it would be respectful.
Yeah, like, right. 100%.
Like, he's my favorite war criminal / painter, and I know he's a piece of shit. But like, as far as like,
you got him over Hitler, huh? Where you rank Hitler in that? In the war criminal / painters?
I've never seen Hitler's golf game. You know, so like, I have to give Bush. Like I've said it a million times. Like, fuck Bush, fuck all those people. But like, the dude did like. He could meet the moment. You know what I mean? Like, he could absolutely meet the moment, whether that was good or bad. But, like, I do think there would be some type of spectacle because, I mean, dude, it's 250. It is a big deal, and we do have pride in this country, and there's a lot of things that we should have pride in this country for. Oddly enough, the thing that I feel like we should have the most pride for, which is, like, our diversity, like, that was what this country was founded on. Like, hey, we're not just going to be this homogenous slop fest like all of Europe. We take everybody. The thing that we should have the most pride in is the thing that we are underplaying the most. Matter of fact, we are attacking it as something that's horrible. But dude, yeah, if Obama was doing it, you know, Springsteen would be headlining, which would be fucking fire.
Yeah.
It'd be great. But I also think that, like, you take away, if it was right after the Dixie Chicks thing, maybe a lot of people wouldn't come out in support of Bush. But like, if 250 had happened during maybe pre-9/11 Bush or whatever, I think even people who disagreed with Bush's politics would have thought of it as, yes, this is bipartisan, and you don't salute the man, you salute the office, you know, and this is about the country, and he just happens to be who leading. I think that, like, there, you know, you'd have your Blue Angels flying over, and you'd have some country music, but I think it would all be respectful, and it wouldn't be this, because what Trump is doing essentially is not happy birthday to America. It's happy birthday to half of America is what he's doing. And I don't think any other president in my lifetime, I say in my lifetime, who knows what would have happened with Andrew Jackson and all these people. But like, no, they wouldn't have done that. There's most presidents up until Trump did at least have a little respect of what should be bipartisan activities.
And they would at least give lip service to.
Yes.
Well, I represent all Americans.
Yes.
Even if you disagree with me, that's fine. And we're all Americans at the end of the day. And even, and there would be tons of Americans who were like, fuck you, die, whatever. But like, the president, though, would still be like, it's your right as an American to feel that way. And I represent
of
you
course.
Both. But Trump is the first one, again, in our living memories, that's ever not done that. He's actively like, no, fuck you if you ain't on board and this ain't for you. And it's just politicized everything to the point that it's just ruined what should have been a pretty joyous celebration. There still would have been an undertone of you know, existential dread and stuff, because I'm sure climate change would still be going hard. Late stage capitalism still be fucking everybody's butts and all that. But we could all at least put it aside and pretend to be in a good mood and on the same team for a little while if literally anyone else was in charge during this milestone other than this motherfucker. It really does feel like a worst case scenario to me. But you said, oh, the one thing we should be celebrating and instead of denigrating is, you know, our diversity and all that's what this country was founded on. Well, there's some news on that front, actually, which we'll get to right after this. All right, this episode of Weekly Skews is brought to you by Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. Seems like every day we hear about some new insane thing the Trump administration is doing, but this one isn't getting the attention it deserves. In recent months, President Trump's Religious Liberty Commission has been meeting regularly and not, as the name would have you believe, in order to protect religious liberty for everybody. No, you'd think from the name they might be out there protecting everybody's rights to worship how they please, you know, religious liberty. Well, you're going to be shocked to find out, no, not what they're doing. Turns out, President Trump's Religious Liberty Commission has been meeting regularly to figure out how to shove a Christian nationalist agenda down this country's throat. So here's the thing about religious freedom. It's supposed to protect your right to believe what you believe and live how you live, as long as you ain't hurting nobody else, and especially not kids. We don't want to hurt kids in this country, right? We should all be able to agree with that one. But that's not what's happening here. You've got taxpayer-funded foster and adoption agencies turning away good families and leaving kids without a loving home, all in the name of religion. Their version of religion, anyway. Liz and Gabe Rutan-Ram, a Jewish couple in Tennessee, were set to foster to adopt until a state-funded agency told them they couldn't do it because they are Jewish. Amy Madonna, a Catholic mom of three, got turned away because she wouldn't sign an evangelical Protestant statement of faith. And Fatma Maruf and Bryn Esplin got shown the door because they were a same-sex couple. That is not religious freedom. That's religion being used as a weapon. If you believe freedom should protect everybody and not just the folks who have the right type of beliefs, then you need to get in this fight. You can do so by going to au.org/crooked to learn more and become a member today. This fight is far from over, and every one of us has a part to play in it. So go to au.org/crooked. This episode is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees, America's largest online nursery, with over 2 million happy customers and thousands of trees and plants ready to ship straight to your door. I ain't got the patience to spend a whole Saturday driving from one garden center to another, loading up dirt and mulch and getting the back of my Jeep all filthy, you know. So when I tell you Fast Growing Trees made it easy, I mean it. You just place the order and a tree shows up at your door in a few days, healthy and ready to go right into the ground. You ain't even got to leave your house. That's my favorite thing about being alive in 2026. I ain't got to leave the house unless I want to. Fast Growing Trees saves you money, too, just so you know. Here's what makes it work over there. They got over 1,600 varieties. They got fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, houseplants, you name it, whatever you want, all grown for your specific climate and your growing zone. Every plant they have is backed by their Alive and Thrive guarantee, so it shows up healthy, and if it doesn't, they will make it right. They have actual plant experts over there, people that know plant stuff, on call 7 days a week to help you figure out what will work in your yard, whether you got a green thumb or not. Right now, they're running deals on spring planting essentials up to half off selected plants, and listeners to this show get 20% off your first purchase when you use the code SKEW at checkout. That's an additional 20% off the deals they're already running at fastgrowingtrees.com when you use the code SKEW, S-K-E-W. One more time, fastgrowingtrees.com with the promo code SKEW. Now's the perfect time to plant, so let's grow together. Use SKEW to save today. Offer valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork, refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer, or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in, all with the style you want and reliability you can count on. so you can get more from your home every day. LG Appliances. So much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
All right, so I don't know if you know, but the Supreme Court session just ended. They had a bunch of different decisions. The one that I think they closed with is the one that most Democrats are the happiest with. I think a lot of people saw this coming, relevant to what you were talking about. The Supreme Court has upheld birthright citizenship. So I don't know if you even knew if that was being determined right now, because I'm going
to
be honest.
I kind of figured that they were going to try to fuck with that, but so I Trump, didn't see anything on
he
it.
He put out all those executive orders and shit right when he first got in there, and then somewhere along the way he put out an executive order, you know, I'm doing air quotes, ending birthright citizenship, which an executive order can't do that. And then that went, and it got all the way to Supreme Court, and they put out their decision today, and they ruled I think it was 6-3 in favor of upholding birthright citizenship. Either way, it was the majority. Amy Coney Barrett flipped, I know, with the liberals. And they so now they said the 14th Amendment defined, you know, it said that citizenship is a right granted to every, quote, every free-born citizen of this land, right? And this is obviously because we had slavery had ended, and that was them saying these people are American citizens and they were born here. Well, a lot of people on the right were saying, like, yeah, well, they only meant that about slaves, they didn't mean Mexicans or whatever, right? So like that was their argument for getting rid of it, but it's been upheld, which obviously a decision that I agree with. And I've just always thought that, like, in it, first of all, I'm with you on, I do believe that's what I don't know how you can make any kind of good faith argument that America isn't a country founded by and of and for immigrants. That's objectively the case. We killed the people who did live here and everyone, right, you know, and then, but also I just don't, what are they supposed to do? People that, like, whatever, anchor babies and shit. You got somebody whose parents were illegal immigrants, but they gave birth to them in fucking LA or somewhere in Texas or something, and they've never lived anywhere else, and they're 20 years old, and you're going to deport them or whatever, like, to where? Like, they might not even speak the other language. They've only ever been an American. I just don't know how you can argue that that's the way that things should work. I just think that that's crazy and makes you an asshole if you think that. But it's a lot of also, people are assholes and racist.
Well, if we're gonna fucking attack loopholes here, which is what they're claiming this is, like, oh, it's just a loophole. That's what they do. They come in here and they have this anchor baby and it's a loophole. Well, fucking, I hear about loopholes all the time from these people, like, such as their taxes or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm not having to pay. It's just a loophole, and I took advantage of it. That makes me smart. Okay, well, that makes these people smart. I'm sorry that they found a loophole that you don't agree with, but if we want to start attacking these loopholes, then let's look at the loopholes that you benefit from that fuck other people over. But it's ridiculous. Like, I mean, I don't know, dude. Like, If someone's an American and they're on vacation in Canada and they're born in Canada, you don't let them become president, which obviously states to you that being born on this soil is somehow divine. So if it so happens to be a Guatemalan that does it, then they're an American. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, and not that you should ever look to the current iteration of Twitter, Elon Musk's Twitter, for any kind of, like, political commentary, but I still do sometimes, just because I want to see just how wild they're getting over there. And so the response to this on Twitter, dude, there's people on there, and again, it's Twitter, they do this on purpose, they're all fucking edgelords, and they love to bait everybody and everything, but, like, there's people on there saying, like, that this is now the end of America, you know, because you know, the whole great replacement theory, like, white people are being eliminated in this country, and this is, like, the final stepping stone in that, and they're after that, like, they're gonna have to take matters into their own hands. So I guess that's just them saying, soon we're gonna just have to start
killing immigrants
and brown people in the streets and stuff, I guess. So that's, you know, encouraging, but at least the Supreme Court did the right thing. But it's like, I just don't, it's like, it's like I said, I'm never in favor of anything that hurts a kid that didn't have anything to do with the decision making. Like, you remember when we first started touring and stuff,
Carolla.
We went on Adam Carolla's show, and we were talking at that time about, they were taking away school lunches from kids whose parents didn't pay or whatever.
Right.
And I was like, well, you know, I grew up, so I was a super poor kid. We were on food stamps and shit. And I'm never in favor of anything that punishes a kid because their parents are poor. And Carollo was like, well, I did too. And that's true. He did. He grew up the same way. And he was like, and his stance on it was basically like, you know, whatever, it like builds character. I turned out fine.
Yeah,
it builds character.
You turn
character.
Into a mad old man that just screams about right. shit.
But the thing about that, there's a part of that, you know me. I do kind of wear that as a badge of honor sure. sometimes that I sure. grew up in. But first of all, we had food stamps and shit. Like, I was a fat kid. I didn't have food taken away from me by the government. I had it given to me by the government. But I'm saying, I do kind of wear that as a badge of honor sometimes, but still, that don't mean I want to take food out of other poor kids' mouths for any fucking reason. I just think that that's insane, and I feel like this argument about anchor babies and shit is another side of that same coin, you know? It's like, whatever. Even whatever the parents' fucking motivations were or whatever when they did it, that baby ain't got nothing to do with that.
I could care less, yeah. And right. I mean, it's that whole, like, you know, going through tough shit makes tough men. I agree with that. And like, but there's gray areas here. Like, so for instance, like, you know, me and you both struggled in comedy for years before we saw any type of success. And me personally, like, I didn't even have a good job. I was just broke and shit was horrible. And I was doing drugs and stuff. And like, I do think now that looking back on it, it's like, yeah, I needed to go through all that because it made me a more well-rounded person and a better comedian. Sure, right? I agree with that. But we're talking about children with fucking food. It's a different situation. And also, like, I cannot make this point enough. It behooves us as a nation to take care of children, because for every person like you and Adam Carolla who went through, you know, that system or whatever, or for every kid who was denied something and then shook it off and made it have them a tough skin and got through it, there's 100 kids who felt neglected by the system and ended up going into a life of fucking crime because they didn't have anything and they weren't taken care of and they weren't educated. So, like, to me, it has nothing to do with what's fair or whatever. It's just a net positive if kids are taken care of. It is just like, it's an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Like, we worry, all we want to do now is, like, we have these robbers and we have these thieves and murderers and we want to find out how to solve that problem now. But you could make it to where that never even happens if you just take care of people, and it would be a financial benefit. It's called an investment.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I say that all the time about myself too. It's not even just about, like, avoiding the negative outcomes, although all that is also true. But I say, it's like, you know, again, I had food stamps, I had Pell grants and all that type of shit, and interest-free free loans, all that FAFSA stuff, all that, like, government welfare programs and everything, right? And I have now, at the age of 40, I have paid the federal government back in taxes so much more.
Right.
So much more than I ever got in the form of those benefits.
So good investment.
So it was a good, the ROI on me was pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's like, you invest in people and it works out for the better, but I don't know. People think that, I don't know how much of it is because they just think the government's going to inherently always do a bad job of it or something, or it's just, you know, they think poor people are going to be pieces of shit no matter how much you invest in them.
Right.
I definitely think that's a big part of it for a lot of people. And then there's racism, because a lot of them, when they think poor, they think black and brown, and then they think the previous thing I said, and it's just all that rolled up into one. But it's just so illogical, in my opinion.
This isn't even my opinion. It's nobody's opinion. It's just facts. Like, yes, there is welfare fraud. Of course there is. It, no matter what system you have, there's always going to be somebody that games the system. There is, of course, welfare fraud. But if you look at the numbers, the percentage of welfare fraud versus people who use it correctly is just, it's staggering. It doesn't happen at the rate that they think that it does. And in my opinion, you should never base a law on the small number of people who fuck it over.
Of course.
You should never do that, because, again, like, to me, I swear to God, if I see a family, a mother of five, who, and let's look at who is benefiting from these things. A lot of times, Now, let me invent my own Joe the Plumber. There's Marianne from the South, whose husband was deployed to Afghanistan. They had five kids. He died, and now she's got to raise these five kids, and she gets benefits to help her kids. I don't give a fuck if a million people are taking advantage of the system. As long as the system is in place to help Marianne, I'm for it. I'm 100% for it.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's like that saying in criminal justice about, you know, it's better to let 1,000 guilty men go free than to, you know, lock one innocent man up.
Correct.
Or whatever. And I mean, I agree with that too. And obviously we've moved away a little bit from the birthright citizenship thing, but the underlying principles apply. There was one other decision in this session, this latest Supreme Court session, that the left generally favored. They ruled in favor of mail-in ballots. So another decision they had was to, you know, it's another like voter suppression attempt by the right. But basically all it says is that as long as mail-in ballots, as long as they're postmarked by election day, they, you know, still count, which like mm-hmm. to me, it's like, I mean, of course. And I live in California and there's so many people out here and that's how it works out here. And it does take a long time to count the votes usually, and that people, anything that takes a while, that gives dumbasses a longer amount of time to cook up some half-baked conspiracy theory about what's really going on or whatever.
Right.
And so, but I don't give a fuck. I just don't see any reason that you would have it work any other way. It's also just, like I said, a bald-faced attempt by them to just make it harder for people to vote, because the more people in this country that vote, the worse the outcomes are for them
right.
electorally. And I don't, and, you know, Stevie Wonder could see that. So, right. you know, what are we doing here? But the court ruled 5-4, Amy Coney Barrett again and John Roberts again joining the liberals in upholding that.
And it's so clear who it is that they want voting, because, like,
right.
you know,
who does mail-in voting versus who goes down there. Yeah,
right.
The mamaws and papaws, they go on election day. And
right,
know.
Right. And that's the thing. You got your mamaws and papaws who are retired. They can go whenever, right? Then you've got your CEO-type people who, like, can always fuck off for an hour from work because they've got nannies that look after their kids and all this shit. And yeah, I mean, it's just very clear. Because, like, dude, I make my own schedule, and still with the kid and with everything, sometimes, like, I do get down there to vote, but sometimes I'm getting it in at the wire because it's like, oh, I got this and I got this and I got that. And, like, if you're someone, like I said, if you're Marianne and you've got five kids and you work you don't work a 9-to-5, you know, you work night shift or whatever, it's going to be more difficult for you to get down to the polls. And mail-in voting was made to make it easier so that everybody's voice can be heard. But they don't want those people voting because those people overwhelmingly vote for workers' rights, which is a tenet of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, no, yeah, 100%. But that got upheld, so, you know, that's at least there's that. Well, so, although, I mean, in earlier in this same session, they did kind of gut other big parts of the Voting Rights Act, obviously, like the gerrymandering part. So they upheld the mail-in voting part, but they also substantially raised the bar for proving Voting Rights Act violations. Again, that was like back last month, but basically just said that, you know, the southern state, the red states and stuff can gerrymander to their heart's content pretty much, and claim that it's not, you can't gerrymander on racial grounds, right? And because that would be racist. So what they do instead is
classist.
Do it in a way that keeps black people, that disenfranchises black people. That's actually the less racist way to do it, you see, Cho.
Well, that's good on them, obviously, for going the less racist route. You know, they're getting better.
Sure, yeah, but it...
I also don't understand how that they're like, with fucking mail-in voting, there's going to be more fraud or whatever. Like, have you seen what it's like to just regularly vote? Like, I go in and, you know, we've still got, it's digital and all that stuff, but then you print off a thing. When I go down, I'm the only fucking liberal that votes in my particular precinct. You know how easy it would be for them just to take my thing and just throw it away if they wanted to? Like, it's not like that building is Fort Knox or anything. Like, I'm not saying voter fraud doesn't exist, but I do not understand how mail-in ballots make it inherently easier for voter fraud. It's just so stupid. They just make shit up.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I guess now it's a little different now because of all the digital systems and stuff. So you hypothetically, God only knows who, because, you know, I mean, there's people on the left now that are like, well, Elon Musk is fucking fixing elections and shit now. You know what I mean? And like changing the digital tallies and stuff like that. So the waters are getting very, very muddied. But for a long time, I was always like, dude, who's got the motivation to like commit voter fraud, you know, like risk like prison and that type of thing to do that, like to vote multiple times or whatever, even if it's like getting all your dead relatives having submitted a vote somehow, and it's like 15 votes in a state of 50 million people or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what? Who do they think is out here doing that? And there's never been, to my knowledge, to this day, it's never been proven that any significant voter fraud has happened in any of these recent elections on the left. The only time I've ever found any examples of it, I think, were lunatics on the right. Back in the day, though, I mean, this is just kind of a tangentially related fun little side story, but LBJ got his political start by like straight up buying and coercing an election in the part of Texas he was in. Like, did you know that? I don't remember exactly how he went he like intimidated people into voting for him, or he just like threw out the votes for the it was. It was super underhanded and
I'll
shady.
Show you my dick again if you don't.
Yeah, that was his number one technique in later years. But in the modern era, they've looked over and over in the 2020 election that Trump still calls fraudulent to this day. And they've checked like so many times. They're so desperate to prove it. And just nothing. They never found nothing.
They never found anything. And also, why didn't they do it again for Kamala?
Right.
Like, why did they, if it was so effective? And Trump's
in the House and in the Senate and just everywhere. Why don't we have health care? You know what I mean?
Right.
Why aren't we taking more of y'all's hard earned tax dollars and giving them to more poor people? Why don't we have universal health care, more socialist policies and stuff? Why aren't both houses of the Congress deep, deep blue if the left has mastered the art of fucking electoral manipulation
That's
the whole thing they do too about talking on both sides of their mouth, where it's like the part that, you know, y'all talk about how like weak-willed and ineffectual they are, and it's like, I'm with you on that, but you can't both say that and then that they're pulling all the strings at the highest levels when it comes to elections and stuff, when y'all have been running shit fucking carte blanche for way too goddamn long now. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
George Soros gets way too much shine. Like, he's doing shit, man.
I've been
waiting on
that motherfucker to call. I say it all the time.
But like, if he was this fucking man behind the curtain, I don't think we would have had 10 years of fucking Trump, man. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. But we'll get into a couple more of their decisions after this brief second word from our sponsors. We'll be right back after this. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Lisa. Here's why we love Lisa here at Skews. They build a whole lineup of mattresses tailored to how you actually sleep. Whatever position, whatever feel you like in a mattress, they got you covered. I guess you'll have them covered, actually, since you'll be on the mattress. But you know what I mean. You just take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and it'll match you right up. Designed and assembled right here in the U.S. of A., they back it all up with free shipping, easy returns, and a 120-night sleep trial, so you've got plenty of time to make sure you got it right. Lisa does good in the world, too, by the way. They've donated over 43,000 mattresses to families in need, and they're serious about eco-friendly materials and cutting back plastic waste. So go to Lisa.com for 30% off select mattresses, plus an extra $50 off when you use the promo code SKEW, SKEW. That's an exclusive for you, the skewers. All right, that's LEESA, Leesa, LEESA.com with the promo code SKEW, promo code SKEW for 30% off plus an extra $50 on top of that. When you use our code, you are supporting the show. So one more time, Leesa, LEESA.com, use the promo code SKEW. This episode is brought to you by ZBiotics. Saturday nights with the wife, the friends, Sunday mornings with the kids, non-negotiable. You know, I like both of those things, but second one used to be a whole lot harder after doing the first one. You have too much fun the night before. Your next morning tends to suck. We all know that, right? Especially the older you get. ZBiotics pre-alcohol, though, is the little thing I added to that routine that made the whole weekend work a little bit better. Here's how that works. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle those rough mornings after drinking. Here's the science behind it. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut, and it's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration in and of itself, that's to blame for those rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So, you just remember to make ZBiotics pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, then you drink responsibly, you know, as always, and you'll still feel your best tomorrow. First time I tried it, I drank one before my first beer, and the next morning I couldn't believe how good I still felt. Now I keep it on hand anytime I know it's going to be that kind of evening, you know, especially with the World Cup going on, baby. Throw something back, celebrate the hits on the pitch. Go to zbiotics.com/skew to learn more and get 50% off your first order with the promo code SKEW at checkout. ZBiotics is backed by 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're not satisfied for any reason, they will refund you, no questions asked. Go to zbiotics.com/skew, S-K-E-W. Use the promo code SKEW for 15% off with ZBiotics today. All right. So, yeah, so the only two real sort of victories for anybody on the left in this Supreme Court session were birthright citizenship and mail-in ballots, both of which, you know, do hit. But let's get into the losses because you know there's some of them. So campaign finance, this is a bummer, but not at all surprising. They basically ruled they struck down longstanding campaign finance restrictions. So basically, like, lifted restrictions on how much money political parties could spend in coordination with certain candidates or whatever, right? And it's like, I feel, and I know a lot of lefty queers feel pretty strongly that, like, Citizens United and all the money in our politics and stuff is, like, the number one thing that has fucked us so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just talking about where's George Soros at and all that stuff. It's like that the role money plays in American politics is, like, one of the biggest problems we have. So, this one is a colossal bummer, but
right,
not at all surprising to me. So they say that restricting those sort of campaign finance spending, that would be a violation of the First Amendment. That violates free speech rights, they said. Political spending is a form of speech, and therefore it would violate the First Amendment to restrict political spending at
Boy,
all.
They really play fast and loose with that First Amendment,
the free speech thing, yeah.
Boy, I tell you what, they just haven't quite figured it out. To me, it's pretty well set in stone and seems right, but I don't know, man. God, whatever.
Yeah, so let's see here. It says a string of Supreme Court rulings has stripped back campaign finance restrictions over the years, including the landmark 2010 Citizens United decision, which paved the way for unlimited independent expenditures by super PACs. And so this is, I think, so that's why they had super PACs. So that was a loophole, right? You're talking about loopholes.
Right.
Super PACs were like a loophole to have unlimited spending, but it still did apply to the restrictions, still did apply to, like, the parties themselves, I think. And now they don't, I guess. So it's just, we're just even more fucked. It's like, hey, you can't be more pregnant. I don't know how much more fucked. Well, I shouldn't say that. We can and will be way more fucked, I'm sure, by all the money and the rich people and stuff.
I mean, I'm starting to, I hear you. I do, for some reason, I've felt hope, but it's only,
yeah, that's weird.
But yeah, but you know what? It was just since the Knicks won. That was it. Like, it, the Knicks won and Mamdani.
I was about to say, the Knicks won, and then you saw more of Zoran Mamdani after that. Because he's got that Obama quality of, he'll make you feel hope. I know. I mean, you were saying earlier he can never be president, right? Because he wasn't born there. But he's.
Right. Which is very unfortunate.
He definitely got it like that, though, for sure.
He does. And not only that, he's actually doing things. It's not just lip.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's not just. Because a lot of liberals, Democrats, there's a lot of lip service. They say a lot of things that I agree about, but then they get a little bit of a bit of power and they don't do anything. He's actually doing things, and he's doing them, and I'm seeing a lot of people who would have normally been super against this guy, who I'm not saying that they're going, I'm deregistering as a Republican and going to become a Democratic Socialist, but he's getting some flowers from some people that I didn't think he would get flowers for. And he's making New York better, and New York could be the canary in the coal mine of what the rest of the country should look like. And it just does give me a little hope that he's becoming really popular, because he obviously can't get it done, become president, but he can be an example to other people who feel the same way as he does, that hey, it is no longer the complete uphill battle you thought it was. These policies and the way I'm doing them are popular, and this is what you should start telling people.
Right. Well, the other thing is, there's people on the right who are still trying to, I was reading an article about this yesterday, trying to make him the, they're trying to make him the face of the left right now, in an effort to scare people, because he's brown and Muslim, right? And a lot of people, the top Reddit comment, the first thing a lot of people think was I don't think that's going to work out for them the way that they think it will.
Could
really, really backfire, in my opinion. I don't think they necessarily want to do that, but they're putting a lot of stock in him being a brown Muslim guy with a wild sounding name.
But I think
you're right. If people who is this? People in Kansas or whatever, and then they listen to him and everything, and I think that I don't think it'll go the way people expect.
It's also all the bullshit they say too is it's insane.
Bro, he won Donald Trump over when he went to the White House after he won. Trump was this guy's kind of cool, actually.
This guy's pretty all right. And he would probably do numbers on Joe Rogan, but it's so
absolutely
funny the way that they try to attack him, which is it is so insane that 20 years after 9/11, we elect a Muslim mayor, and it's that doesn't apply in any other situation. Nobody's can you believe that 20 years after the Oklahoma City bombing, they elected a Christian as the mayor? You know what I mean? What the fuck does one have to do with the other? But he's doing great work, and he does have that. He's fucking cool, man. Really is cool. That speech he gave about
the
Knicks.
Oh, dude,
it was fire. And I saw a lot of people in the comments being well, you know that he pre-wrote that, right? And
You think the Gettysburg Address wasn't pre-written or whatever?
Trump has made these people think that you have to freestyle,
right?
But even if it's, of course he wrote it, but guess what? It was bars, son.
Right.
It was awesome.
Yeah. And I'm sure you saw and then people, Knicks fan, took that speech and cut it into a highlight reel of their championship run or whatever.
Dude,
it's so
unbelievable.
Rad. I've never been a Knicks fan or nothing.
I was happy
that they won, but I'm saying I've never cared about them really. But watching that,
dude,
I was it made me fucking hype.
And I can't stand people who jerk off over politicians. I've never been I've got ones that I like more than others, but I gotta tell you, that dude got me hype, and I was I'm on the Mamdani train.
Yeah, me too. All right, well, let's see what we got. Another bad one. Trump v. Slaughter. This one happens about presidential removal power. So he fired at least one, maybe a couple, commissioners of independent agencies. I remember it's because the numbers they were giving him didn't hit for him. They were real numbers, but he was I don't like these numbers. He fired them. He was give me somebody in there that'll bring me numbers that do hit for me, whether they're true or not. Classic him move. But that ended up going to the Supreme Court as to whether or not he could do that, because the thought at the time was that, he can't, because we ostensibly have checks and balances in this country. And again, those agencies are called independent. That's in the name of the description of what those agencies are. They're independent and regulatory. But this Supreme Court ruled that they ruled in favor of the president having that power. So expanded presidential power to fire independent agency officials at will. So again, it's just a removal of one of the few remaining checks we have in all those checks and balances me and you heard so much about in like middle school and junior high and stuff, learning about how American government works. Yeah, people, right,
in the world,
right? Like, yeah, I know. It is the most important thing. Yeah,
but like it was as a kid, like, bro, it could not have been positioned as any more important than it was. Like, every fucking teacher I ever had, Republican or Democrat, they all were just like, and the only reason this whole thing works is because we have these checks and balances. And it was, and it's such a good system that it was simple enough for a third grader to understand and be like, oh, that is right, because absolute power corrupts absolutely. And boy, that just doesn't, it doesn't favor the current regime.
No, no, it does not. It's all that, you know. That's why these all these protests are called the No Kings protests, because they've just been chipping away at those this whole time, and he's acting like a king. And yeah, that was one of the founding principles of this country, you know, you'd think, was that we don't fuck with kings here, right?
Right.
But turns out kings really hit for a lot of people.
Sure do.
In this country.
I mean, me and you talked about it on Putting on Airs one time. It's like, if the king does do all the good stuff, that would hit, but they never do.
They never do. And also, what about the next one? It's like, was it, you know, I mean, I think maybe this is just the plot of the movie Gladiator, but one of those Roman emperors, like, might not have been Marcus Aurelius, but I know that there's like, there was a great Roman emperor whose son was then an abject fucking lunatic who just tore everything apart or whatever. And it's like, well, if you're talking about having kings and it's a good king and that's good, but if it's a king, how are you going to, who's going to be the next one? Is it going to be the son? Because otherwise, well, how do you pick it? Well, I guess we could vote. And then it's like, well, that's not a king anymore. And so basically what we were really saying, if the king was like had good opinions and was benevolent and stuff, that would hit. But really you're just saying it would hit if, you know, I was the king. Or
if I got everything I wanted, that would hit.
If the king just did what I wanted, who wouldn't think that? All right. Last one. Again, I'm pretty predictable in my opinion. This one's a little, well, I don't know. We'll see what you think about it. The court upheld state laws banning transgender athletes from girls and women's sports. So if a state can make laws that prohibit trans athletes from participating in girls and women's sports, where are you at on this?
To me, this is just another thing where is this really the most important thing to worry about in our legislation? And I'm not even saying it doesn't happen, right? I'm not even saying it doesn't happen. But I am saying it happens at such a minuscule rate. This has always been my whole thing on it. For anyone that says it's not a complicated issue, you're insane. It is a complicated issue. But my thing has always been, regardless of how I feel, and I love sports, right? I'm a huge sports fan. Regardless of how I feel about it, the only thing that it seems to do is stoke the already heavy flames of transphobia that causes bodily harm, murder in some cases, bullying, all sorts of stuff that it's not worth it to me. Like, it's just not worth it to me. And as you said, like, 10 years ago, nobody even thought this existed. And now it is subject number one on any Republican's platform. I just don't think, I don't know, man. It just disheartens me, because they're using the sports way to make it seem less evil. They're pretending that they care about women, which we all know they don't.
Well, also women's sports. How many conservatives have you ever known in your life that watch women's fucking sports?
Right.
They'll like post on Twitter about Caitlin Clark and shit just because that's become fucking politically charged too, but they don't give a fuck about women's basketball.
That's what I mean. And that's what I mean by, like, What they want to say is, we don't want transgender people to exist, but they know that they can't say that.
Right.
So what they can do is use this more logical Trojan horse to get it in there. And to me, every second spent on any of this legislation, any money spent on any of this legislation, when there are people starving in this country, and when we... It's just a waste, man. It's a waste of resources. It's a waste of time. And if you, they could never look me in the eye and tell me that it's not just about the hatred of a different type of people. They couldn't. They couldn't do it. I would not believe them ever.
Well, here's, I mean, I think we're basically on the same page. But what I like, how I've always felt about that pretty much is like, look. The version of it that they're always acting like is just ubiquitous and happening all the time, which is like in their minds, it's like the fucking the ones that conservative comedians make sketches about where it's like some ripped dude puts on a wig, goes down to the swim meet and just smokes all them bitches, you know, and takes home the gold or whatever. Like, of course, I don't think that that should be allowed, but I don't. But I don't think that that is
That's really happening.
Like, I don't know, one or two times, fucking ever. Because I also it's like it's just a biological fact that men are like stronger and faster and everything than because of in large part testosterone and the hormones that we have. So my understanding is also that when you have like hormone replacement therapy, if you were born a man but you're getting a bunch of estrogen for a long time, that mitigates a lot of those inherent biological advantages. You know what I mean? So like it's not even necessarily at a certain point a competitive advantage anyway. So even that is a gray area. But regardless, it's like – like it barely happens that one the swimmer that got it was such a huge thing or whatever and they like came in fifth, you know, or whatever it was, like, and like it's just not worth the time. And like you said, everything you said about it being a dog whistle is not the right word. I'm sure there's a better word for what that is, but it's like it's a stand-in for what they're really trying to say. And also fucking the thing about how it, you know, uncommon it really is. I remember what they said, okay, states can make these laws. I think it was Oklahoma, but either way, some red state, I know a few years ago, was making one of these laws about transgender athletes in like Oklahoma, if it was Oklahoma, high school sports. And I remember at that time, because Mark like looked into it, there was like one. There was literally in the whole state of Oklahoma, there was one high school athlete who identified as transgender, and it was in some, you know, mid-level school in some sport nobody really cares about. Sorry, whatever. But either way, so it's like the joke I made at the time was they might as well have called that law like the Make Zoe Sad Act of fucking of 2022 or whatever, because that's how targeted it is. And it's just insane to spend those resources and stuff on something like that when, like you said, Oklahoma ain't got bigger fish to fry than Zoe swimming or whatever it was. It's insane. It also leads to them looking at fucking teenagers' genitals which is also insane.
Now it's like any woman over 6'4", which does exist, and they end up going to the WNBA, they just call everyone a man now.
Right.
So, like, it's on that. Like, biological women, they're just calling men just to say it. And also, can I tell you this? It makes no logical sense that, like, they position it as someone who otherwise didn't feel like they were trapped in the wrong body. Otherwise, they didn't feel that way. But they just wanted to win a medal so bad that they then
went through all that
and ruined their life. And by the way, socially. I'm not saying that being transgender inherently ruins your, but in this country right now, especially in a red state, and to do that, knowing the risks of like, fuck it, you're going to ruin your life for that doesn't happen.
Right.
That doesn't happen, dog. It's just like the same people that are like, oh, they're just they chose to be gay to help their. What do you mean?
Right.
What do you mean that they chose to risk being bullied and beat up at bars to get an acting role? Get the fuck out of my face with your shit.
Absolutely. Cho spitting, as he always does. Couldn't agree more, brother. Thank you for filling in for Mark this week.
Always.
So we are going to do the plugs here at the end. Thank y'all for watching. Go to CoreyWritesForYou.com. Check out his the new thing he's working on, Here We Rest, right? A Southern crime drama. Yeah. And a whole bunch more offerings over there at CoreyWritesForYou.com. Come see me on the road at TreyCrowder.com. I'll be in Lowell, Arkansas in July, and then a bunch of places coming up in the late summer and fall. Check out producer Matt's audio exclusive, Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things. It's a nice palate cleanser for this program. It's on the audio feed for this show. As for this show, if you want to support this show and get more of it, go to weeklyskews.com/more or go to Patreon and search for my name. $5 a month gets you access to the ad-free versions of every episode of the main show, and then also 2 full-length bonus episodes per month, which include periodic Q&As where me and Mark answer questions directly from y'all. And one more time, go to backroads.us if you're anywhere near Seattle and are looking for something fun to do on America's 250th. Go see what producer Matt's got cooking up down there at the Tractor Tavern in Seattle, backroads.us. That's it. We'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.